The scripture that we had for our scripture reading is quoted in this book called Steps to Christ. The chapter on repentance is the largest chapter in Steps to Christ. She has a lot to say in it. I have chosen a paragraph as we will look at the theme of repentance in just a moment in detail. When the heart yields to the influence of the Spirit of God, the conscience will be quickened, and the sinner will discern something of the depth and sacredness of God's holy law, which is the foundation of his government in heaven and on earth. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world illumines the secret chambers of the soul, and the hidden things of darkness are made manifest. Conviction takes hold of the mind and heart. The sinner has a sense of the righteousness of Jehovah and feels the terror of appearing in his own guilt and uncleanness before the searcher of hearts. He sees the love of God, the beauty of holiness, the joy of purity. He longs to be cleansed and to be restored to communion with heaven. I can't help smile as I read those last lines. You notice that? This desire that God gives us, it's called repentance. We don't work it up in ourselves. Yes, we learn about it, but as God moves, before we are even inclined, he gives us indication of his love. And of course, in Paul's day and in our day, it's manifested in the cross of Jesus. I thought that we would do something different because it's New Year. It's a new year. It's the first Sabbath of the new year. And we're going to all be Bereans. We're going to take our Bibles, and you take your piece of paper that was in the bulletin and just break up in groups of two or three or whatever you would like, whatever is natural. And I'd like you to read to each other these texts. We'll take about approximately 10 minutes. I'd love to see this house of prayer just lifted up by your reading of the various passages. So split up with your Bibles. Take the Pew Bible. It's wonderful to have guests here. Pam, maybe you can also meet Natalie and Nathan right here. I'm so pleased they came here. This is Pam. And just read to each other these various verses about the climate of repentance in the early church. I think you will find that Gospel Luke, when he was trying to let us know about repentance, gave us quite a spectrum of what the message was back then in the early church. How many have reached Acts 20 yet? Okay. All right. Oh, good. No wonder the largest chapter in Steps to Christ was on repentance. It is a constant theme, but did your translation have variations on the theme of repentance that was like a rainbow? There was nuances there that perhaps you had not been led by the Spirit of God before to even see. Those nuances. And notice, I noticed in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, but the Spirit of God leads us to good works as well. And in that last passage on repentance, the fruit of that repentance will be sharing with others the fruit of repentance, which is demonstrating God's love to others. The climate of repentance for this new year. And how about for the rest of your life? That's what Luther suggested. Luther suggested that we should have a climate of repentance for our entire life. The very first of his 95 was this statement. Our Lord and Master Jesus, when he said, repent, willed that the whole life of believers should be repentance. And all the rest of them, his number two statement was on repentance. The rest of them were indulgence issues, aberrations of this foundational repentance theme that we have discovered and renewed our acquaintance with in our scripture. If I were to ask you, what was the first dawning of the Word of God in your life? Whether it was that first Bible that you received, or whether that was that first memory verse that caused you to pause, meaning the Holy Spirit was starting to cause you to even come close to what you would call repentance. Do you remember the first dawning of your spiritual life as a child? We would have, I'm sure, some wonderful reception to that question if I let you speak to that question. Where was your dawning? Where in the Bible did you find a movement of the Holy Spirit that caused you to be intrigued by something that Jesus had said, for example? Why? In your young mind. My brief story is when my father gave me his Army New Testament, a story that probably was repeated thousands and thousands of times, where the military dad, his firstborn, gives his Army New Testament to his firstborn, me. And I look at the Bible, barely able to read, but my eyes went to, for some reason, only God knows, Luke 18. Luke 18. The parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Why? I cannot answer that, but that was my dawning of why the Bible could possibly be intriguing and meaningful to my development as a person. And as you remember, that contrast between the one that was indifferent, the one that was scornful to the publican, and the openness and the repentant publican was such a contrast. Even I, as a young child, couldn't miss the contrast. And I was just pondering last night, where did Luke put that? Where did Luke put that parable? Come with me to Luke 18 and you'll find out. Luke 18. He puts that parable after what verse? Could it be that this is a second coming Advent encouragement for us as Adventists? Notice the previous verse before that parable in Luke 18. The Son of Man, when he comes. Notice verse 8. I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? So this parable, according to the divine inspiration of Luke, as he organized the materials that came to him, places that parable right after that challenge. I don't think that's an accident. As we've been looking at prayer meeting about inspiration issues, that Luke places this contrast, those that are indifferent, those that are scornful, those that have lost and cast away the Spirit's desire for us to live in a climate of repentance. I find the parallel between the Laodicean church and this striking. We have the judgment time, Laodicean judgment. And if we go back to Revelation 3, I promised my Sabbath school class that I would get to that as I did downstairs. Look at what 19 says. So we're not going to graduate folks from repentance, for the true witness in Revelation 3:19. What does he really encourage us to do? And so do we work that up on ourselves? No, we just say, God, I need the climate of repentance in my heart. I need that. About the same time that Luther was reenacting his Nailing of the 95 Theses last fall, October 31. You remember he kind of came alive for us? Okay. So Luther was nailing the 95 Theses down. I had a challenge. I was in conversation with my sister, and she was accounting some difficulties in her life. The prophets use the word woes. And I came up with, and my excuse was dangerous to self-justify yourself. It didn't go over very well. I said, well, the resurrection, won't it be wonderful when the resurrection takes care of this? When you deal with dying people and funerals, you have to be careful about using those phrases to the living. Okay? And she let me have it. And she then really pulled out the big caliber weapon and saying, Roger, if you counsel your parishioners, she's protecting you, by the way. If you counsel your parishioners like you just did to me, that did not help. And something inside me said, Roger, humble yourself and repent. Apologize. I swallowed hard, and I apologized. And you know what? The next time I saw my sister, she had a smile on her face. Why? The fruit of repentance, intimacy, drawing close, coming close. About that same time, I received a call from one of my members at another church in this district saying, Pastor, I need to apologize to you. And I said, oh, really? Yeah, she says, I was talking behind your back and it wasn't very complimentary, and I just wanted to call you and apologize. My. And you know, when I see that lady, I have a wonderful, closer freedom with her than I've ever had. I have a confidence and a joy interacting with her that I've never had before. No wonder, Jesus, the true witness, says, repent. A New Living Translation uses the word, you will not be indifferent. When we're living in the climate of repentance, we're not indifferent to each other or to God. No wonder Jesus wants us to live in a climate of repentance. And anyone that is here, I'm speaking a bit to the choir, but may you spread beyond these walls the climate of repentance. The communion is Jesus' safeguard that we do not become indifferent to him. And that would be my prayer for you and our prayer for each other, that this will keep us in the climate of repentance this new year. For our guests and for even those that need to be, we function with open communion. Anyone that would like to participate at any level, the men move to the lower part of the church. The ladies remain here. And there are a couple opportunities. We have extra rooms downstairs. If the couples would like to wash one another's feet, that would be wonderful as well. So may we enjoy this experience of renewing our intimacy spiritually with one another at whatever level you feel comfortable with.